Japan's not waiting around.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We have word that Japan has decided to impose unilateral economic sanctions against North Korea. The Japanese television network NHK said Japan will make it official later today. The sanctions could include banning North Korean ships and all trade between the two countries. NHK also reported that North Korea may have detonated another nuclear device today, but so far no one else has confirmed that. The U.S. is focusing most of its attention on North Korea right now, but it hasn't forgotten about Cuba and the decades-old sanctions against that country. The Bush administration has formed a law enforcement group based in Miami. From the America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
The new task force will smoke out people doing business or traveling to Cuba in violation of the 44-year embargo. Individuals could face fines of $250,000 and 10 years in prison. Corporate fines can reach $1 million. Cuba expert Dan Erickson is with the Inter-American Dialogue, a Washington, D.C. think tank. He says this task force was created to send a message.
Even though there's a process of political change taking place there with the fading of Fidel Castro, the U.S. government is going to play it very, very tough until the bitter end.
Everyone agrees the embargo hasn't worked, so why keep beating a dead horse?
Because it shows, well, hey, look, we may not be succeeding in enacting political change in Cuba, but at least we're trying.
That message will be popular with hardline Cuban exiles in South Florida. They're an important Republican voting bloc in November's election. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And now a story that gives new meaning to the phrase, it's a small world after all. Cosmetic companies have started putting ultra-tiny particles in their face creams and eyeshadows and sunscreens. The companies claim these particles make their products better. But some people believe this new technology needs at least a tiny bit of regulation. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
Thousands of items on store shelves now contain sub-microscopic particles called nanomaterials. They're often less than a quarter the width of a human hair. This new technology can make products better. But Professor Mike Taylor with the University of Maryland questions whether the government really knows how safe they are. He told a U.S. Food and Drug Administration panel that the FDA lacks the tools it needs to regulate the nano industry.
FDA is simply not in a position to know the exact composition of these products and whether, in fact, they've been adequately tested and had their safety substantiated.
Taylor says the FDA needs to complete additional research and test these products. But business groups told the FDA panel that the current regulatory process is adequate. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Another record close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It was up about 9 points yesterday to 11,867. The S&P 500 was up 0.2% to 1353. The NASDAQ gained 0.1% to 2315. Oil prices keep falling. Today in Asia, they're trading at 58.41 a barrel. The dollar hit a 10-month high against the yen. This is Marketplace. And now for a visit into the history books, back to business. On this day, 56 years ago, an important moment in television history. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
CBS was issued the first color TV license in 1950, but there were complaints about the new technology. For one thing, people with black and white sets couldn't see the color picture. In spite of that, CBS aired the first ever color broadcast in 1951. It was called Premiere and featured Ed Sullivan. RCA wasn't far behind with its own technology. It aired the Colgate Comedy Hour in color in 1953. RCA's technology won out because people could watch the color shows on their black and white sets. Wasn't long before the FCC made RCA's technology the national standard. But the country still preferred shades of gray until 1968, when color TVs outsold black and white sets for the first time.
The Marketplace Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. North Korea may have detonated another nuclear device today. That's according to a Japanese television report. There's been no confirmation by anyone else. In fact, we don't know for certain North Korea exploded a nuclear weapon 2 days ago. Still, the U.S. and the United Nations are tossing around ideas for sanctions. Other countries could block North Korean ships and planes, ban its leaders from visiting, or cut off North Korea from world financial markets. The U.S. has already disrupted the flow of cash into North Korea, and the country's international bank accounts have been frozen. China is one of the few countries still doing business with North Korea. The Chinese have warned against cracking down too hard. In this edition of The Public's Business, commentator Robert Reich says the world should listen to China.
The problem is North Korea is run by a madman who doesn't seem to mind if his own people starve. That nation's survival depends on $2 to $3 billion of goods and money flowing in each year in order to feed and clothe the military and prevent a wholesale meltdown of the economy. But it's already near meltdown. The idea would be to tighten the economic vise still further until what? You see, that's the issue. Millions of people in that desolate land are already on the verge of starvation. Kim Jong-il doesn't seem to care. At some point, the economic vise could become so tight that even Kim's military brass don't get adequate food and clothing, and that may be enough to drive them to pop him off. But by that time, who knows how many North Koreans will have perished. Economics assumes people act rationally in their own self-interest. But there's no guarantee of rational decision-making in North Korea. No checks and balances, no high-level council of wise strategists. All power is centralized in Kim Jong-il, who may be nuts, and there's no obvious successor. China holds the cards here. China is the only friend Kim Jong-il has in the world. He's entirely dependent on his colossal neighbor for food and fuel. China doesn't want his regime to collapse because the ensuing chaos would send millions of refugees streaming into China and force a takeover of that desolate nation by South Korea. Not even South Korea wants the huge financial burden that would entail, making German reunification look cheap by comparison. But nor does China want a nuclear North Korea, because that might prompt Japan to adopt nuclear weapons to counter the threat, which could lead South Korea and even Taiwan to do so too. If China is smart, it will bribe Kim Jong-il to give up his nuclear program. Kim Jong-il may not be rational, but the Chinese leadership is, and they are our best hope now for a rational outcome to this mess.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is now a professor at the University of California, Berkeley. He'll be back in a couple weeks with another edition of The Public's Business. Your thoughts are always welcome. Log on to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The population of this country is about to hit...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.